We live in a perpetual revolution. The essence of our media's breathless headlines is not resistance to a particular regime or ruler, but a revolt against the very concept of civil order.
Aaron Wolf, executive editor of Chronicles Magazine, talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We are now witness to the fact that civilization falls apart when its people abandon a shared belief in the permanent things, an enduring moral order established by God that exists outside of us.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wolf making the case for conservatism at our one and only 2019 Making the Case conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385.
The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
That's an excerpt from Black Klansman director Spike Lee's acceptance speech for Best Adapted Screenplay, Sunday night's Oscar Awards. It was a hostless Oscar. There's a little controversy over the host, so they went on without the host. It was one that some people are saying was politically muted. There was an awful lot of vagaries being pronounced from the podium there at the Oscars that were thinly veiled references to political ideas. The most overt, probably Spike Lee's, let's be on the right side of history in the 2020 presidential elections. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, February the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Now, that's how the award shows usually go, but what about the films and the actors and the many talented people in Hollywood that were being recognized? We'll be talking about those here in the first part of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller joins us. We'll continue our series introducing the books of the Bible. We'll be in the Old Testament prophet, a very brief prophet, Nahum. Joining us to talk about the 2019 Oscar Awards, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
The top news story coming out of the Oscars last night was director Spike Lee's acceptance speech, where he made reference to the election and to President Trump in pretty negative terms there on Trump. I know how that kind of is perceived by middle America from the other side of the northern border in Canada. How is something like that perceived?
Yeah, he won for adapted screenplay. He has screenwriting credits on it for the movie Black Klansman. And listen, you know, like a part of that thing that he said was a reminder to people that there was an election coming up. You know, and like as a Canadian, it's like, yeah, I get it. I know you guys have an election coming up because we hear about American politics all the time. Like we're sitting like next to you guys. So that's something that's always on our mind. And we also know because it takes like forever for you guys to have an election. You guys spend like over 2 years in an election cycle with all the primaries and everything. So, you know, I think that there was even one time in recent memory where we had a minority government, like we had an election that resulted in Canada with a minority government, and then we had another election that resulted in a majority government, and we had two federal elections that happened during your guys' primaries and elections. You know, so you know, it's kind of funny how that kind of comes. So we, like as Canadians, we hear a lot. You know, even our news channels like report on your guys' politics. So, you know, I think it's something like somebody said one time, it's like being like the mouse that sleeps next to the elephant and just doesn't want to have the elephant roll over, kind of a deal. So we're kind of like, we're watching all of this stuff and Spike Lee and, you know, the Oscars, generally speaking, like watching it this time as a Canadian, this particular, the 91st Academy Awards, it seemed to be less political than the previous year. And I don't know if that's just because like Meryl Streep wasn't there or something, but, you know, like, or some of the personalities just kind of didn't, they weren't as openly that way. Maybe it was because they didn't have a host, right? Because the host then is going to write like jokes and things that would be kind of more political. Not that there wasn't political comments like Spike Lee, for instance, but it seemed overall on the whole to be a little less political, or I should say less overtly political.
You had mentioned the Academy. Just review for us how this actually takes place. Who is choosing Oscar winners?
These are actual like actors and directors and all of the people involved in editing and sound and stuff. They're all part of this Academy of Motion Picture, you know, Arts and Sciences. So it's a meritocracy, right? So they're voting on each other's work, as opposed to something like the Golden Globes, which is an oligarchy where you have the Foreign Press Association, that small group of like about 70 people who vote together and decide who wins what. So this is a much larger voting pool. Of course, I mean, there's actors who are trying to make it, or like who are, or directors that are not, you know, don't have the same kind of clout as a Spike Lee, or, you know, somebody like Ryan Coogler has right now, or, you know, a Steven Spielberg. But these are definitely, it's a little more rarefied air, but there's just more of them that get to vote on it for the Oscars.
Then to comment on the fact that there was no host, ordinarily that's considered, well, I mean, it can be a great honor to be asked to do that. It can also be kind of a career staller for some people as mm-hmm. well. But talk about the hostless Oscars we saw last night.
Yeah, I remember what, like Bob Hope used to do it for like decades. Like, I think he did it for a couple decades. You know, Billy Crystal did it for a long time. You know, you have all of these different people who kind of like come to the forefront. Kevin Hart was supposed to do it, and people will remember there was controversy about tweets and things from the past and all of this sort of stuff. You know, what I noticed about it this time was is that it probably shaved like 15 minutes off of the broadcast at least. And the whole thing seemed to move a little more smoothly. Like it you know, they definitely utilized different actors and stuff. Some of them were a little better than others. You know, Melissa McCarthy did a kind of a fun job coming out in a really ridiculous outfit with another guy and talking about costumes and subtlety and stuff. And of course, there was nothing subtle about the way it was set up. But, you know, it was, I thought it was kind of better to not have a host, actually. Myself and my wife, we thought it was better.
The film that ended up taking the most Oscars home last night was Bohemian Rhapsody, kind of a biopic of the Queen lead singer.
Yeah, and this is kind of an interesting one, because by the point that it came out, like, you know, if you were around in the 80s or whatever, or you were kind of vaguely aware of like Queen music in the late 70s and 80s and stuff, you know, you may have loved the music but didn't know the whole life story and struggle that Freddie Mercury had with homosexuality and all of the rest of it. But by this point, when the movie came out, people knew all that stuff. And the Oscars can kind of be a little bit cutthroat too, because like they're just like we were talking about elections, they're kind of like vying amongst each other and throwing parties and going to the right parties and trying to garner the votes that they need to win the awards. So prior to the Oscars coming out, there was some controversy because the director, the guy who has directing credits, Bryan Singer, you know, was accused of sexual misconduct. So like rape, coercion, molestation of underage men. So that would be teenage boys, like going back into the 1980s. So that's, or 1990s rather. So that's kind of like this, you know, the Me Too movement kind of stuff, but it's another kind of element of it, because, you know, this is kind of like in the Kevin Spacey territory of things, because it's like men with younger boys or teenage boys, to more specifically for Bryan Singer. So this kind of stuff all of a sudden shows up, like it had already kind of been out there in Hollywood, people knew about this stuff and it come up from time to time. But of course, there was a big article in the Atlantic magazine that came out just in January, just in time for people still voting. So the fact that it won these awards that it won, you know, it kind of won them in spite of that. And like Bryan Singer, of course, you know, didn't get a directing nod in the nominations because, you know, probably because of some of these things and other things, but it did win the majority of the awards. So you have like lead actor, film editing, sound mixing. Of course, sound editing and sound mixing would make sense because, you know, it's about the band Queen and it's about all of their music. The lead actor in it, Rami Malek, won for best actor, like lead actor, which I kind of thought it should be Christian Bale for his portrayal of Dick Cheney in the movie Vice. But he won, and he had some comments, and you know, like, this is kind of what happens. You know, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're around, and you start to see things. And one of the listeners of Issues Etc. had made a comment on Facebook, and she said about the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, she said, "I loved the movie, but I disagree with the actor's statement when Rami Malek in his acceptance speech said, 'We made a movie about a gay man, an immigrant who lived his life just unapologetically himself. And the fact that I'm celebrating him and this story with you tonight is proof that we're longing for stories like this.'" So our dear listener continued to comment and say, "I didn't watch because Freddie Mercury was gay. I watched because I love Queen and their music. That's what I cared about, the history of Freddie Mercury and the band. They were an exceptionally talented group of guys whose lead singer had a phenomenal voice." So I think that sometimes, like, you know, people might think that people are interested in a topic for one reason when actually they're interested for different reasons. So, you know, Hollywood being kind of myopic can kind of like misconstrue why something's popular. And in the case of Bohemian Rhapsody, I think it's the long legacy of the music itself that's more popular than this particular aspect of the film.
Best Picture went to a film that came out late in the year or early this year, I suppose. And it's kind of based on history. There had been some criticism leading up to the Oscars about how historical the story it was telling actually was. Green Book. What was this film about?
Yeah, this is, again, talking about Spike Lee, who also made a movie that dealt with, you know, African-American experience in like a true story told on screen. He did not like the fact that this film won because Green Book won, and he thought, you know, here's this movie, and this is the controversy about it. Here's this movie about segregation in the South, about this black musician and this white chauffeur driver kind of guy and their friendship, but it's made by white people, not by black people. It's, you know, he didn't like that. They also thought that it was like, you know, there was other people who were commenting that it's kind of like maybe sugarcoats racism a bit to make it more palatable for people. Now, the thing about this movie, Green Book, is I didn't even see it. Like, we were planning to see it one night. And I mean, I think listeners, and I'm sure you too, like you've experienced this, that there's just so many movies and TV shows and things in our popular culture at the moment that are kind of infused with some LGBTQ storyline or something like that, that you kind of get worn out. Like, you're just tired of it. Like, you know, it's like, I get it. It's this thing that's there. So, you know, like, we were planning to go see Green Book, and then, like, just as we were about to leave the house, like Michelle says, you do know that the character of this black musician is gay, and that's part of the movie. And I was just like, oh, you know what? Like, I just want to go to the movies. I don't want to, like, I'm kind of tired of all of it. So we didn't end up actually seeing the movie. So it's the one movie in the Best Picture list that we didn't see. And of course it wins Best Picture. I also thought that it would kind of be, you know, a bit of a lecture on race relation kind of stuff that I've heard a lot of those too. So it just kind of went low on my list of things I needed to see or wanted to see. It is a film that apparently I've heard from other people that they kind of liked it. Actually, most of the people I've heard that liked it were baby boomers. But the question is the audience, like, who is it for? who is it made by? These are the things that are kind of being part of the conversation right now, you know, following the Oscars, because I think that people didn't expect this one to win. Like, it seemed like, and I'd heard actually that there was a news report about how in the press room there was kind of like a gasp when it was announced that was the winner, because I don't think that the press expected Green Book to win as well. And I mean, it's got Viggo Mortensen in it, who's, you know, in the Lord of the Rings movies as Aragorn, you know, like, and Mahershala Ali also, who's in that TV show Luke Cage, I think the first season of that. And he was also in the one that won a couple, Moonlight, that won a couple years ago, which was a movie that had, like, that was very specifically about a gay teenager boy kind of coming of age or whatever kind of story. And I remember seeing that, and we talked about it on Issues, etc. But after a while, you just, you know, you don't necessarily want to watch movies that in that category. If you, like, movie watching is voluntary. You don't have to watch everything, and people need to know that. Even if it wins an Oscar for Best Picture, people don't have to watch it.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the 2019 Oscar Awards. When we come back, we'll talk the award for lead actor.
Christians in the public square, joyfully Lutheran, the Lord's Supper, political and religious conservatism, the Hippocratic Oath. Some of your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wheretheliturgylives.org.
Tailor your educational experiences to meet your specific interests and goals in the Director of Christian Education Program at Concordia University Chicago. It's the perfect place to earn your DCE degree and prepare for your vocation in Christian education, youth ministry, family ministry, and more. Visit cuchicago.edu to learn more about how Concordia Chicago's DCE program is both innovative and traditional.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Academy Awards that aired last night. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, in the category of lead actor, you said a moment ago that you had expected Christian Bale and his portrayal of Vice President Dick Cheney in the movie Vice to win. Why?
Well, because he physically put on like the weight. Like, Christian Bale is one of these actors. Like, he was in, I think it was a movie called The Machinist, where he like lost like all this weight and looked like anorexic. And it was, you know, he goes through these bodily transformations when he played Batman in Batman Begins and Batman Returns, those ones, like it, the Christopher Nolan ones, he buffed up. He became this big, powerful looking guy. And then for for Vice, you know, as Dick Cheney, he looks like Dick Cheney. Like, it's pretty remarkable. And in fact, that the people who put together like the makeup and the hair and all of that, they won the Oscar for his portrayal. But I kind of think that he helped them win the Oscar, because you can like dress somebody up, you can have the hair and makeup just right, but if they don't kind of get the performance nailed down, it's not going to be believable. And it was this great combination of things, and there's uncanny moments in that movie Vice where you know you could almost swear you're looking at Dick Cheney in some moments, which is really kind of interesting. Of course, that film had been up for 8 Academy Awards, had all of these nominations, and just won the one award. So, and that seemed to be part of the evening too. There's a lot of films were up for a number of awards, but only won like one award. So there was not a single film that like took home 7 or 8 Oscars for the evening.
So lead actress went to Olivia Colman for her portrayal in The Favorite, which is kind of a period piece. And her acceptance speech will probably go down as the most endearing thing ever in a Hollywood acceptance speech.
Yes, yes. She's a really endearing lady. It was a quirky, very heartfelt acceptance speech. Now, The Favorite is one that we ended up seeing, not knowing all of the details about that film either. It just seemed like this quirky period piece about Queen Anne, who was kind of the queen in England just before the Georges. So like when you have like the madness of King George, like George III, who was the king when the American Revolution happened, like he's George III. So you go back a little bit further to George I, and then before that you get Queen Anne. So this is the early 1700s. And it's a very peculiar story about the inner workings of, you know, the court and trying to vie for power and influence over this queen who's almost an invalid and is not maybe very suited for the job of being the monarch. But again, like not knowing all the details about it, it turns out that this film has like a lesbian love triangle in it too, which again is like, had that been on my mind, I might have passed on it, because, you know, not that I pass on everything that has that kind of stuff in it, but I just, you know, sometimes you're just tired of it all. And that was something that we didn't know going into the theater to sit down to watch that film. But it is a very strange movie. If anyone does see it, or if they're curious about things about it, all of the sex in it is just predatory or, you know, functional. And like there seems to be like no love or caring in any of it. It's a cutthroat kind of film. You know, and also kind of quirky. The director of it, this Lathmos, has very distressing films. He also made something called The Killing of the Sacred Deer, and he made another film called Lobster, and they're all very distressing movies, and this is like that. But she was wonderful in the movie. She does a really good job in terms of the acting. Like, it is a really excellent job that she does, but the movie is certainly not going to be for everybody.
Best Supporting Actor went to the actor who portrayed the musician in Green Book, Ali. Tell us about his performance.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali, I can't tell you anything because I didn't see that movie. So his peers, I must have thought that it was good, but I didn't see Green Book, so I can't comment too much about it.
Also in there was Sam Elliott in A Star Is Born, and A Star Is Born is one of those things that everybody was expecting to win Oscars, maybe if only because it showcased not only the acting but the musical talents of Lady Gaga.
Yeah, and she ended up winning along with a couple other songwriters who helped put together the song Shallow. And that is probably the most, that song was a huge song connected to the film and was the most worthwhile thing to win an Oscar in it. It is the kind of movie that the Oscars likes, and it has this kind of pedigree, and if the political and temperature of Hollywood was different, like had that movie come out 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it probably would have won like 6 Oscars, you know, like, but because there's different things in the mind of the Academy, it didn't garner nearly as many wins, as you'd expect. So it was, again, it was one that was up for 8 awards and won just one single award for the original song. And actually, that original song, like, they did a lot of work, like, when it was actually, you know, like, presented, like, because they had the original songs were being sung by the, sometimes by the actual artist that sung it in the film itself. And it was all blocked out and edited in such a way that, like, they spent a lot of time preparing for that. So it was the darling, you know, song that people expected to be the winner. Although, you know, and it's a good song. I kind of liked the one from the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, the Coen Brothers film, When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings. That's a Gillian Welsh song. I like that one better. But I don't know. I had a thought about Lady Gaga when I was watching the Oscars last night. And I've come to this conclusion, and I don't know what you think about it, but I think that she's kind of like Meatloaf. So if you think of, like, Bat Out of Hell from years ago, like, she's kind of this, she's just like a lady version of Meatloaf
in
some ways.
You have to explain that to me.
Well, you know, it's like that crazy big, like, over-the-top ballad kind of thing, you know, like, it's all very theatrical and, you know, so I think it just kind of goes in the same kind of category as that, but people don't instantly think of it. I just thought of it last night. I was like, this is kind of similar, like, it's a similar kind of thing, you know, she's just kind of like a modern, current version of the same sort of thing that an artist like Meatloaf was doing years and years ago.
Maybe the similarity extends beyond, because Meatloaf tried his acting chops in Fight Club. He actually,
that's right,
was
yeah,
pretty talented actor,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm. So, and of course, you know, Lady Gaga didn't win in her category for acting, but maybe she'll take this as an encouragement and continue acting in films, and maybe one day she could be like Glenn Close, you know, just nominated and nominated and nominated and never winning. Like, that was the thing with that people kind of expected Glenn Close for this film called The Wife to win, because, you know, as many times as Meryl Streep has been nominated and won, like, Glenn Close seems to be nominated and not won. So people kind of thought that maybe it would be Glenn Close's night, but it was not.
A film that got 3 overall Oscars, but whose director was recognized as best director, was a film called Roma. It's actually a foreign language film. You saw it. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I really actually enjoyed Roma a lot, and it's available on Netflix right now, like, so people can find it there if you're listening to this in, you know, February of 2019. But it's set in Mexico. It's kind of this story of women with absent men, and this domestic, she, like, helps with the housekeeping and help, like, a nanny almost with the kids and stuff in this Mexican family, and she becomes pregnant, and, you know, what's going on with all of this. It's a black and white film. It's a beautiful looking movie. It's profoundly sad in moments. There's a lot of tender moments in it. It's kind of a slice of life kind of a movie. And it's these relationships that are going on in the film. It's a well-deserving of the different categories that it was in and the awards that it got. And the director who won the award, you know, actually more than one award for it, Alfonso Cuarón, he also was the guy who did Gravity. So years ago, we talked about the film Gravity. And it's the same director, and he's Mexican, like, guy. So, like, it's a good movie. It's a well-deserving movie to be involved in all of these nominations and everything. Watching it, though, I thought maybe there's a subtle, like, or maybe not so subtle, political subtext. You know, like, the Academy votes for this Mexican director, this Spanish language film, kind of as a comment on Donald Trump, like President Trump, and the wall, and Mexico, and all of this kind of stuff that is important to Hollywood and is also in the public conversation right now in the United States. So I think maybe he could have probably benefited. I think he benefited from what's going on, you know, in order to get the votes he needed to win in the categories that they won in. So that was like best director, cinematography, best foreign language film. And he won personally for cinematography and for direction because he's also a cinematographer.
We're talking Pastor Ted Geese about the 2019 Oscar Awards. After the break, we will turn to animated feature, Spider-Man feature there that won was about diversity. I wonder if it was more of the same. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is a devotional resource. It's called Day by Day in Genesis. It's 365 devotional readings from the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, who spent a fair amount of his latter years thinking and talking about the first Old Testament book. Find out more about Day by Day in Genesis at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Day by Day in Genesis. When we come back, more with Pastor Ted Geese on the 2019 Oscars. Is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night and the moon is, who cares what picture you see?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Mark your calendars for the Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The Home and Garden Show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of regional businesses and partners. The Metro East Home and Garden Show has something for everyone, from the basement to the roof and everything in between, to lawn care and landscaping outside your home, from kettle corn and monster trucks to tractors and zero turns. Family-friendly activities from child fingerprinting and face painting to child and fire safety. Take advantage of pet adoption, electronics recycling, and shredding services on site Saturday only. And Fred Bird flies in on Sunday. Admission and parking are free, compliments of Element Turf. The Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, is sponsored in part by Liberty Fence, Renown Remodeling, Seavers Equipment, and Woods Basement Systems. Show and exhibitor details can be found at mehgs.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Paul Lutheran, Council Bluffs, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Trinity Lutheran, Louisville, Minnesota. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. And Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the 2019 Oscar Awards. Turning to the animated feature category, I'm wondering if some of the sensibilities you were discussing before the break found its way into this one, too. The winner was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but it was made very clear that this was an animated feature mostly about diversity.
Yeah, and this is another one that I didn't end up seeing, but, you know, being aware of it a little bit, the idea is that it's this multiverse idea. So you don't just have Spider-Man, you have Spider-Man in every possible version of the universe that could exist, right, kind of thing. So which means that there's this panoply of Spider-Man, like all of these different versions and variations on Spider-Man, which then allows for this focus on diversity. It's apparently quite a fun movie. Of course, as Christians, the idea of a multiverse is not biblical or scriptural in that this is kind of a newer idea that's kind of cropped up, or at least it's a representation of an older idea that is in the popular hive mind of the time, as it were. But yeah, I think that that's part of it. And in fact, I think if I remember correctly, one of the various Spider-Mans is Spanish speaking, and they brought it up when they had their acceptance speech, that, you know, the fact that there was that little kids could look at it who had this, where Spanish was their first language, they would be able to say, well, there's a Spider-Man for me, kind of a thing.
Were you surprised that, except for technical awards, if I'm not mistaken, Black Panther didn't get more recognition?
Not really. I mean, this often happens. Like, you can have like a big movie like Star Wars, let's say, like the original Star Wars, and it'll be clearly the most popular movie of the year, and the largest number of people had seen it, and it was like made the most money, all of this kind of thing, and it'll like just clean up on all of the technical things, but it wouldn't get like best picture or something. So it's not completely a surprise to me, but I think overall Marvel had a really good night, you know, because they did garner, like, you have to think, it is like Black Panther is a superhero film, and it won, like, superhero movies people don't expect them to win Academy Awards, right? So the fact that it did, you know, I think one of the first ones that did was one of the, like, I think Heath Ledger won playing the Joker from the Batman film that Christopher Nolan made, that was posthumously he won that. But generally speaking, people don't really consider superhero movies to be Oscar caliber quality stuff. So they, you know, the fact that it won 3 awards is pretty amazing. Bob Iger from Disney is sitting there in the audience. Like, he knows it's a big night. You know, the Marvel people are there. Kevin Feige is there. All of these guys are all part of the evening. And of course they have, like, even Captain America. So Chris Evans with his Avengers Endgame beard still sporting it, you know, he's there, and he at least one, maybe two ladies with kind of complicated dresses, he helped them up to the microphone because he was like in the front row. So I mean, like, you have these people, even Bradley Cooper, who's the voice of Rocket Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy films. There's like, Hollywood is really interconnected with this Marvel Studios Disney endeavor with all of these movies now. So, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, Brie Larson, who are going to be in this Captain Marvel movie coming up, they were presenters. So overall, they had, I think, a very good night when it came to these films. But they didn't get like the big awards, but they definitely got recognition. And the ones that won for it, so when it came to like production design, this Hannah Bechler got up and she was talking about the recognition that she was receiving and how important it was for her as an African-American person involved in making these films. And that was kind of part of the evening. If people watching these kind of think back, like a couple years ago, it was very LGBTQ focused, like really upfront. You could kind of say overall the evening was more focused on like African-American race relation kind of stuff. Like it was more that kind of thing overall through the whole evening. But again, kind of interestingly, that it wasn't as political as you'd expect, or not as political as it has been at different times in the past.
How do you think it fared? The ratings for this award show continue to slump year after year after year, but it's still called the biggest night in Hollywood. How do you think it fared in terms of being something that the average American, or in your case, the average Canadian, actually wants to watch, especially given the fact that it has from time to time been politically a pretty preachy event? Lots of billionaires telling us what they think the rest of us should think.
Yeah. You know, if they want to appeal to the largest kind of crowd of people, then they need to be a little less high on themselves, right? Like that, like I think that people kind of start getting put off when it's, you know, a bunch of millionaires just, you know, slapping each other on the back. Like the people want to see these kind of real moments, you know, and they want to see them as actual people. When they get preachy, like quote unquote, and like on their soapboxes, when it gets too political, it'll drive a wedge, because either they won't be political enough or they'll be too political for different people, and it's a distraction. The whole idea is that films are intended to be, you know, works of art, but also, you know, entertainment. Is like, this is the job that these people are supposed to be doing. So things that interfere with the entertainment end of it, or the appreciation of the art of it, or the appreciation of the hard work that goes into the vocation of doing this kind of stuff, all of that stuff, just, you know, the average American will care less and less and less about it. You know, already this is a side thing. It's not the most important thing in most people's lives, clearly.
Finally, then, of the films that were in the category of Best Picture, obviously Green Book won, but if you were going to pick your Best Picture of those ones that you saw, which one would it have been?
Well, you know, Roma probably is the best picture in terms of, like, it's overall, it's doing something really interesting. I think that it's not something that the most wide audience is going to like the best. Probably A Star Is Born is probably, or Bohemian Rhapsody are the two that are like the better movie, right? Overall, there's some things about Vice that are a little clunky. It's a very interesting movie, but it doesn't always work very well. Black Klansman is a really good Spike Lee movie and is super interesting and well worth checking out. We kind of talked about it a little bit before. It's kind of bookended with some pretty heavy-handed political stuff, but when you get into the center of the film, it's very, very interesting stuff. But probably Bohemian Rhapsody might be actually the best film. And one thing that's kind of interesting about that movie is that while it does take some time to, like, well, quite a bit of time looking at the gay lifestyle that Freddie Mercury was involved in, it's not always portrayed, like, it's really not portrayed as a big positive and plus. Like, he comes across as somebody who is deeply lonely in that, that he's taken advantage of, that it's not an overall plus for him in his life. So it's not a candy-coated positive viewpoint of that kind of thing. So I think that people who love that music, you know, and find that film, I think they might find that film interesting. And it's probably, you know, but Roma actually is technically and, like, actually probably a better movie.
In the vein of Bohemian Rhapsody, which obviously people loved the film, I noticed starting about a week and a half ago the promotion for a summer movie called Rocket Man that will be a biopic of a living super mega rock star, Elton John. What do you anticipate?
I think there's going to be some pretty strong similarities between these two films. When you were like a younger guy, like, did you think about, I'm sure you didn't. I didn't. I don't know what, like, the whole thing that, like, Elton John was gay, like, did that even come up in your mind?
Probably later, but when I began to listen to his music and it became essentially the soundtrack of my latter grade school, junior high life, which it literally was, it wasn't on the radar.
You know, like, and these things were not on the radar for me either. Like, you know, so, you know, like, I imagine that this film, when it comes out, is going to delve into that as well. So I think there'll be some similarities. People who have seen Bohemian Rhapsody will find similar things to that in this film as well.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his movie reviews at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And he'll be with us later this week to review the movie Glass. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back, we continue our series introducing the books of the Bible. We'll be in the short prophecy of Nahum. Nahum is all about the destruction of Nineveh, a city usually associated with the prophet Jonah.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Who is your neighbor? And what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? This February, the Lutheran Witness is exploring what it looks like when Lutherans show God's love to neighbors in need. Highlights include one church's dramatic account of weathering Hurricane Michael and the profile of an LCMS-recognized service organization serving the poorest of the poor in rural Appalachia. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com, thecleaningauthority.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.